Okay, let's make sure that we are walking by faith in the Spirit so we can understand what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Feast upon the precious manna from heaven. And go from there. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege we have of coming together and worshiping you. I pray now as we spend a few moments looking at your plan and your prophecy for history, that we would just rejoice in these things. I pray that your Spirit would show us your love and show us once again how we are on the winning side. And especially as we look at the final chapters in the Zodiac and we see our eternal destiny. These things I pray now in Christ's name. Amen. Well, last week we got into chapter 10 and our study of the Zodiac. So we have finished up 10 and we have 11 and 12. So you can see that we are on the verge of finishing this particular study. Oh, that's the old Zodiac. Let me find, hopefully. Yeah, I was just sitting up here, waste some time. Well, not really, but I looked and I thought that was my Zodiac. Wouldn't that be something if, I couldn't find the other one? And that is exactly, see, I can put this on there, but that's just the paper. I don't think that'll work well. Well, maybe it is on the table. No? No? It's like, well, our blank Zodiac. Yeah. See, here's this one. But, that's the way it goes. You win some, you lose some, and some are just gone. Huh? No, that's not the one I'm looking for. I thought that, Something about that? No, that's not a Zodiac. No, all our the copies of the Zodiac that I made from last time, and the Zodiac is all gone. Probably somebody came in and said, "My goodness, what are these people studying here?" Ah, here we go. Praise the Lord. It's almost exciting as watching the Diamondbacks win. And, now we're ready. I feel better. Somehow or another, this one is, I think, a lot easier to see. Here we are. We're just finishing up Gemini. We're going to go to Cancer, and then we'll go to the last one, which is Leo. And so, remember, Gemini are the twins, and there are two figures, real briefly. Do you like for me to turn it over? Does that make you feel like you can see better if I turn it so that you read it right side up? Whoa. Even though it's upside down. So now we have Gemini right here. We have two twins. Notice that one has a bit longer hair, and she has a bow that is not strong, and she has a harp, and she represents the church. And in eternity, in heaven, because this is what this represents. We will be united with Christ, and we will sing praises unto Him, and we will rule with Him. And so that's what we have. We have the bride and the coming one, the Messiah. Now remember that Gemini does not have the idea of twins, as we think of twins, two people being born at the same time. It has the connotation of something being brought to completion, consummation, or perfected, as in marriage. And so we have Polus, the ruler, the judge, the deliverer, and Castor, who is the coming ruler or judge, the one born of light, and that is us. So we're the bride, and he is the groom. And right now we're in unity with Christ, and He's in us. But when we are in heaven, that's when that unity will be perfected, both spiritually and physically. We'll be in the physical presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But before that can occur, mortality must put on immortality. Yeah, I wouldn't want for our immortality to put on mortality. And then we looked at the first Dagon, which is a huge rabbit, and it always seems strange, Lephus, a rabbit. But the rabbit represents Lucifer and the evil one. He is the deceiver. And then, of course, we saw Canis Majus, who is the big dog, and the big dog likes to chew up and chase the rabbit. Remember, for the rabbit, the Arabic means, or it symbolizes the enemy is coming. I like the Egyptian zodiac name for the rabbit, which means the offender confounded. That is Lucifer. He is the offender, and he is confounded. He is confounded by the Lord Jesus Christ. He thinks he's God, and over again, he learns that he is not. He is confounded by God's love. And, of course, Canis Majus, the big dog, the prince, the wolf, he's about ready to have a rabbit for lunch. And the Arabic for this decon is the chief leading his host to effective victory. Jesus Christ said this, there is no substitute for victory. Now, other people, I'm sure, have copied that, but like Jim MacArthur. But there is no substitute for victory. And what we see in the zodiac is complete victory by God over Lucifer. In the zodiac, we see that there is truth and there is lie. And the lie is not the truth, and the truth is not the lie. We have to choose between the two. And the truth is Jesus Christ. And the lie is Lucifer. And Lucifer has done a fantastic job of spreading his lie. And his lie is that if you think something is right, then that makes it right. So that truth is not an absolute, it's however you feel. And so that's one of the reasons that the news director of ABC could say that for the terrorist crashing into the Pentagon, he couldn't say that was evil or wrong or whatever, because, you know, he's just a newsman. And you see, because if you look at things from the terrorist viewpoint, they believe in their cause, and therefore what they do is right, so it must be right. But there is right, there is wrong, and they are evil. And so, any religion that opposes Jesus Christ is evil. Basically, there we are. Now, we are now ready for the third decon, Canis Minor, the Redeemer. Notice that he kind of looks like a little bird dog. And he's just prancing along, much, much, much smaller. And the brightest star is Prokion, which means the Redeemer or the redeemed, and this is the church. We're the bride. You see, we go right into the same thing again. The first deacon, the big wolf, this is Jesus Christ. What do? We follow the bride. And that's us. Look at Psalms 149, verse 7. I think if I looked in the Old Testament, I'd probably have a better or easier time finding that. Psalms 149, verse 7. We'll start at verse 6. May the praise of God be in their mouths, and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations, and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all of the saints. Praise the Lord. Now, at the second advent of Christ, when Lucifer is cast off the earth for 1,000 years, all unbelievers will be cast off the earth for 1,000 years, and be cast off the earth, and then we enter the millennium. We will rule with Christ. We'll be the little dog. We are like Christ, but we're not Christ. I mean, it's neat that we have the two dogs. They're the same, but they're different. See, we are in Christ, he's in us, but we're not Christ. We're not God. God is in us, and we are in God, but we are not God. And we, like a good little dog, like a good bride, we follow our groom, Jesus Christ, wherever he goes. In Arabic, this little dog is known as the prince of the left hand. Jesus is the prince of the right hand. He sits on the right hand of the Father. We're the prince of the left hand. Now, one of the stars is Al-Murzam, and Al-Murzam means the ruler. I thought it was, can't see him in this one, but he's one of the stars, and he means the ruler. We rule, we reign with Christ. Another star refers to redemption. We have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, those are the three deacons in Gemini. Once again, you see the pattern. In this case, all of this book has to do with us in heaven, in glory, in eternity. And we will be with Christ for all eternity. We will share in his rulership for all eternity. That's the little dog. The rabbit is Lucifer. He is defeated. And we share in the victory over Satan. But who does the fighting? The big dog. Big dog does the fighting. But we share in the spoil. Now, let's go to the 11th constellation. And that's Cancer. Please, when you think of Cancer, don't think of cancer. Okay? It means something entirely different, which we will get into as we study this. But it's the crab or cancer. Okay? And we're going to spend a little bit of time on cancer. The crab or the cancer represents the completion of the Redeemer's word in regard to his own. You and I are completely redeemed. This is a picture of the church being held fast, possessed by our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Egyptian zodiac, rather than being a crab, it was a beetle. Now, I'm going to spell this beetle for you. B-E-E-T-L-E. No. Here's the name of this beetle. Scaraberus. S-C-A-R-A-B-A-E-U-S. Again, S-C-A-R-A-B-A-E-U-S. Yeah, it's Scarabus, but I have to spell it for you. Now, this is a particular beetle, not a Scarabus. It's a particular beetle as far as the Egyptians were concerned. And it was considered sacred to the Egyptians. And it's interesting because when they wore these things as rings, they wore them on their shoes, ornaments, everything. The last thing that went on a mummy was this imprint of this beetle. And it starts, obviously, as a worm or lava, and lives in the silt just under the earth, and lives in darkness, and it just eats dirt, garbage. And one day, something happens to it. It forms like a cocoon, and there it stays in a state of a suspended animation. And one day it gets immunity. One day it breaks out of its cocoon and out comes a winged beetle. And it, you know, where it was confined to the earth, now it lives in the sky. Where, you know, grubs have never been something that I ever thought were particularly beautiful. I don't ever remember as a small boy even saying, wow, look at that grub. Isn't that neat? I never remember doing that. Okay, well, in the Egyptian zodiac, it's a beetle. Okay? Some of these things are a little bit different in some of the zodiac. In the Egyptian zodiac, it's a beetle. Okay? But the beetle and the crab have a lot in common, as far as the lessons that they teach. But I just happened to really be turned on to the beetle. You see, we start out like the beetle. Okay? Our old nature, we live in dirt, we live in filth, and then when we're born again, we have a new nature and everything changes. Our whole perspective changes. The beetle loves the sunlight, not the grub. I remember when when I worked at camp when we were in East Texas, a lot of times I would stay in what was kind of the old tack room, but an old house, and the back part of this little house was the back fence for my hog pen. I kept my pigs right there. I should have known you're my right woman. Of course, since there was no screens on the window nor glass, the flies and things, you know, were happy in my house, come in for a little shade. But that was okay because as they flew around, it caused a breeze. But, there's a good side for everything. But sometimes I would kind of hold the hogs up, or when there were no hogs in the pen, and take some stuff that Karina made, and you just spray it on the ground, do it in the morning, and it causes all the maggots to come up to the surface, and then the sunlight kills them. It's not a pretty sight. Okay? Now, Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They have darkness and light. And we all start out identified with darkness and identified with the king of darkness, and we share in his faith. But by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become sons of light. And we're no longer identified with the earth, but with heaven. Now that's what we have to remember as believers in Christ. We live on this earth, but our identity is in heaven. And we're still around, you know. And we still have contact. But I was thinking about this. When this beetle is in the cocoon stage, and it's just a natural thing, he doesn't eat, doesn't drink. If you say, "What are you doing over there? I'm growing wings, and it's not easy." He doesn't work to move from a grub to a beetle that can fly. It's in nature. Nature does the work. Okay? Now, see, that's us. God does the work. Can you see the picture of faith? Resting. Now, let's talk about, and I see this as a dual thing here. Obviously, it is a picture of us moving from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Okay? But it's also a picture of us moving and being transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. After we're saved, we need to be transformed. And when we're transformed into the image of Christ, we are living as our new nature would have us to live. And we have a different perspective, a different paradigm on things. We look at life differently. Our life is now associated with the heaven and not with the filth of the earth. Or should be. And so you see, but we have two natures, and we still have all the problems, we still have the disasters. Going to the third analogy, even after we're saved, even after we're transformed into the image of Christ, we still have the pressures of this life, the disasters of this life, the heartaches of this life. But one day, we're going to be in eternity with God. And that's what this really speaks of. And we're going to be face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ forever. And that's where we will really enjoy our new life. The best life on this earth is the abundant life, the spirit-filled life. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay? I have the fruit of the Spirit chart. That doesn't really explain the Spirit-filled life. That doesn't really explain the abundant life. Because you can't explain the abundant life to someone. Can you? I mean, you can give them mechanical things. You can tell them what it's like. I mean, what's your favorite dessert? What? What's on the table now? This is a man after my own heart. But if you had a choice of what was going to be on the table, what would it be? Hot Fudge Sunday. Now, can you explain to someone what it's like to experience a Hot Fudge Sunday? Can you really? No, you can tell them, all right, it's cold, it's sweet, it has this, but that's not the same as experiencing it, is it? I mean, okay, ladies, when you have a choice now, you can either go out and have a nice hot fudge sundae, or you can read about it. Which do you choose? Well, I was going to go out and have this hot fudge sundae, but I just decided to read about it. It's the same. It's not. That's the point I'm trying to make. Did I make it? So, you don't get the calories. That's true. Nor, but you don't get the satisfaction either. In fact, what do you get greater desire for? Yeah. The abundant life is like that. And unfortunately, many believers only read about it. They hear about it, but they don't experience it. And once you experience it, and as you experience it, during the day, whenever, you say, wow, this is great. It's fantastic. All right, now, as great as the abundant life is, it's nothing compared to being with God in heaven. Are you with me? Nothing. And so one day, we will enter a new relationship. And let's go back to how you could use this analogy. When this worm enters the cocoon, it's in a dormant state. That could be like death. And for the Egyptians, that's exactly what it was. Death. And when it exited, that's a picture of our eternal relationship with God. A new life. So one day this life's going to end and we're going to enjoy a new life with God forever. And that's one reason why the Egyptians chose this beetle to be their sacred symbol. We start out as maggots. When we come to Christ, we're born again, and we still have the old maggot nature. But as we grow in grace, there's a metamorphosis. And we move from darkness to light as to where we live. And so every time an Egyptian saw this beetle, he was reminded of the process. And he thought of life after this life. And so what cancer tells us, or the crab tells us, or the beetle tells us, that we are to think of life after this life. We're to live our lives in the light of eternity. That's what it says. Now, crab, not a beetle, but a crab. A crab is born of water, but it also lives on the earth. We, the church, are born of water, the water of the Holy Spirit. Just as the crab lives on two elements, water and land, we live in two elements. We live on the earth, and one day we're going to live in heaven. That's what the crab teaches. We live now and in eternity. We can have the abundant life now, and we'll enjoy eternal life in eternity. Now, crabs are strange little creatures, too. They look quite different when they're grown than when they were born or hatched. And as it grows, It undergoes important changes, and one of them is, as it grows so much, it has to throw off its shell and have a new shell. Spiders and things like that are always kind of weird. I remember crab tarantula. And one day, did he have a name? Harry. That's right, Harry. And I looked in the aquarium where Harry lived, and I said, oh, no, Harry is dead. I tried to, tap, and he didn't move. So, well, what I better do? I guess I better, get rid of him, bury him, flush. And so I was about ready to pick him up, but my kids pick him up all the time, but not me. And so I thought, well, I'm going to make sure. So I got a pencil, and I reached in there, and I kind of flipped him, and I just flipped off the old, and there was the new. Scared me. Okay? So as he grew then, he would have to get a new shell. And he's different. Okay? Now it's the same way with a crab. And as it grows, it changes drastically. And that's just like us. How do we go? By faith in the Spirit. By feasting upon the manna from heaven. And as we grow, there's drastic changes, and those changes are on the inside. On the inside. And then they result in changes on the outside. As God the Holy Spirit pours out His love through us, that change is on the inside. We become love. We love as Christ loved on the inside. And as we change on the inside, we move from being self-centered to Christ-centered. Our normal nature is self-centered. Even when we serve someone, it is to benefit us. See? That's self-centeredness. We serve this person so they will like us, so they will do for us. You know, it's us. But when our nature is changed and we're moved from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness to other-centeredness, when we serve, it's for their benefit, not ours. We always serve for the benefit of the one served. And so we move from serving ourselves to serving Christ. We move from serving ourselves to serving others. But you see, the overt thing is we see the service. Others see our service to themselves or to someone else. But what is the cause, love? Change on the inside, which results in true service. Not simulated service. True service. When we begin to love as Jesus loved, we begin to live as He lived. And that means we begin to serve as He served. He was a servant. He served God. He served us. Always amazes me to think that the God of the universe served me. Went to the cross. I call that a service. Okay. So, we have to be like the beetle. Or the crab. See, if the crab puts off its old shell, that's us putting off our old nature. And put on our new nature. Paul would say, we need to be clothed with the new man. Clothed. We need to put on Jesus Christ. We need to clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. And then one day, we're going to be wholly changed. Be holy, H-O-L, as W-H-O as well. As we get our new body, resurrected body. But that's how we're to live. We are to live remembering that we're just passing through this life. One day we're going to be in eternity. That's a hard thing. I think one of the reasons that it's become so much easier to witness since 9/11 is that people have realized their life to be cut short at any time. And so they don't know where they're going to spend eternity. We need to tell them how they can move from a grub to a beetle. Now, I don't recommend that you say, you know what? I need to share with you how you can turn from a maggot into a beautiful beetle. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I would suggest probably a little bit better way. But in essence, that's what we're doing. And so we need to live our lives in the light of eternity. So when you think of cancer, you think of the crab, you think of the beetle, what does that tell you? Live your life in the light of eternity. Why? Because eternity is going to be a little bit longer than your life on this earth. It's even, eternity is even longer than Ray's life. See? Now a crab, you might notice, has two powerful claws. And one idea here is when the crab grabs hold of something, it's got a hold of it. You used to go crabbing, you take a little piece of meat, and just, I like it, because one piece of bait, and you can crab for a long time. And you just tie it onto a string, a little stick. We go down to Galveston and go out on the rocks there, on the jetties, and you just dangle that puppy down there, and pretty soon you feel it, and you got a little crab, and you pull that crab up, and he won't let go. Pick him up, put him over in the bucket, pop him a little bit, and he lets go, and you can catch a lot of crab the same piece of bait. So, powerful jaws. Now, you and I, as the crab, one day we grabbed hold, you see, of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. We need to grab hold of the Holy Spirit by faith. We, as Paul would say, we need to hold on to the hope that is set before us. We need to be as crabs. And we have to grab hold of that hope, that confidence. And one day we're going to be with the Lord Jesus, and we don't let go. That's what he's talking about. We hold on as we walk by faith. Now let's go back to the beetle. Remember, he starts out as a grub. That's how he starts out. And that's about the most he has to look forward to. Living in filth. He has no real capacity to enjoy a beauty or anything else in life. You never see happy maggots. And then one day he enters his old cocoon and he's just changed. Metamorphosis. And that's what happens when we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Our lives change and we gain capacity for life. Capacity for enjoyment of the things that God gives us. You see, I believe this, that that we're all God's, all believers are God's children. And God gives to all of his children. It doesn't make any difference if they're in fellowship, out of fellowship. Walking in the Spirit, not walking in the Spirit. God gives to them. He blesses them. The difference is, that if they're not walking by faith in the Spirit, they just don't have any capacity to enjoy what he gives them. The most important thing God gives us as we walk by faith is the capacity to enjoy our relationship with him and all that he gives us. When we're walking by faith, we're like the beetle flying around, and we have the capacity to enjoy the beauty that we see. Otherwise, we're just like old grubs. Don't see much, don't enjoy much. So here we are, living on this life, in this life. And after God changes us as believers into being Christ-like, after we're transformed into the image of Christ, that's when we begin to enjoy life. That's why we call it the abundant life. And later, we have eternal life. So you see why the Egyptians used this as their seal? Constantly reminded them of the afterlife. You and I need to be constantly reminded that one day, we're going to be in eternity. And we're going to go from death to resurrection from earthly disabilities and all the problems associated on this earth to having a perfect resurrected body for all eternity. Yeah, in the middle of cancer is a nubile that is probably one of the biggest and brightest in the sky. And it means multitude of the offspring or the innumerable seed. I wonder if it was cancer when God took Abraham out and he said, Abraham, you want to see what your spiritual seed's going to be like? Look at the stars. And he could see the seed cluster. See, that's what your seed's going to be like. It's going to be like the number of the stars. You can't count them. The Egyptian name for this constellation is Calera. Calera, that's the Egyptian name. And it means the fold or the resting places. The folds are the resting places. The Syriac name is Sartano, which means the one who holds. And so what you really have in cancer are the folds or the resting places, and is a picture of Jesus Christ who holds us, who makes us secure. Now for the word cancer. The root is con, K-H-A-N, and it means the traveler's resting place, Holiday Inn, motel, not six anymore, eight, $39.95. Yeah, it used to be Motel 6 for $6 and went to $8, but you know, Motel $39.95 just doesn't have that same ring to it, does it? So it's con, traveler's resting place, and ker, K-E-R, which means embraced or encircled. So conter or cancer, the Romans used to call it, means the traveler's resting place. The place of the encircled. You and I live in the you and I live in the traveler's resting place, the place of the encircled, cancer, and we are encircled by the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is where we're going to be for all eternity. Neat, neat place. Now, I want to go through the three deacons real quick, and we'll spend some time on them and some of the names of the stars next time, but I just want to get us in the last couple minutes, get us an idea of where we are. Now, there are, we have three here, and the first deacon is Ursa Minor. Now, here he is right here, moving very close. Ursa Minor, and this is the first deacon. And it is a bear. Notice that Ursa Major is a bear. And I'll show you in Hebrew next week where this really comes from, but these are not bears. Somehow or another, they just, because of the close sounds between the Hebrew for sheepfold and the word for bear in the Greek, it just kind of moved into a bear. But as I told you last week, if you will look, you'll you don't see any bears with tails. Bears don't have long tails. And so we have Ursa Minor and Ursa Major. Now, we have a sheepfold for the church and a sheepfold for all other believers. Interesting thing, when you go to Ursa Major, and this is a sheepfold, it's a sheep pen, notice who guards the entrance to the pen, to the fold. Brutes, guys. The Lord Jesus Christ. He guards. He keeps us safe. The third deacon is our ship, Argo. You remember Jason and Argonaut? And Jason went to rescue the golden fleece guarded by the serpent. And the golden fleece represented purity and righteousness. Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he rescued us and gives us righteousness. Notice that the ship is at rest. The sails are down, see the furls, and the head of the lion is looking back over to the ship. To those in the ship. And so this represents us in port. In heaven. Forever. Now I want to see if you notice something here about these three deacons, a little bit different than in every other chapter. Here's our constellation, the crab, Cancer. Our first deacon, Ursa Minor, or the smaller sheepfold for the church. Ursa Major, the large sheepfold for all believers. And then the ship of rest for believers. You notice anything different from that than all the other deacons? Well, they're not people. But how about what they represent? What? Satan is not involved. Not involved. Because this period represents the millennium, for one, which starts eternity for us, and Lucifer is not involved. But then when we get to the last constellation, Leo, Lucifer will be involved one more time, and this time he is completely annihilated. This amazes me how we can have the whole picture of history, even with the church, even with the millennium, even with eternity. And you see, once again, here's what this, one of the things that it proves. God is sovereign. He's God. Think about this. He shows his enemy Lucifer how it's going to start and how it's going to end, and he still made a choice to go against God. God is in control. No matter what happens in this life, no matter what goes on in the world, and there is a lot going on in the world today, God's in control. And it was all right here. It's all going to end up exactly like he planned. And there is proof of the worthiness of God to be God. Because his absolute sovereign will is carried out to achieve. And at the same time, he gives all angelic creatures and human creatures free will. And so we can do all the things that we want to do. and we can choose to line up our will with His will, or to line up our will against His will, but His will always comes out. But He's God. There's the mystery of predestination. Right there. Think about predestination. God has a predetermined plan. That's the zodiac. He gave Lucifer free will, and Lucifer exercises his free will, and it's going to end up exactly like God said it would end up. You and I have free will, and we can choose to either serve God or serve ourselves. Choice is ours. But it's all going to end up exactly like God said. In other words, God's plan doesn't depend on us. It depends on God. And what we have to decide is whether we're going to be like, you know, we need to be a little canine and follow our master, Jesus Christ, and enjoy the ride and enjoy the victory, because one day we're going to be with Him for all eternity. That's a good place to stop. Any questions before we go home? Yes, I knew that. How did I know that? Let's be solid. My sister said, it was so nice to meet y'all Sunday and kind of put together faces with, you know, names that she hears while I'm talking and you're talking and so forth. Yes. The question is, when the constellations were known, did by the Egyptians, by others, the Greeks, the Chinese, the American Indians, did they relate them to Christ? And I would say that by the time we have recorded history, the answer is no. But if you look at the Greek mythology, you can see how close they are to Christ. Ah, okay, but they didn't give them the names. In other words, the names were given by God, and they just were passed down, and that's what they said the name was. In other words, let's take the color red. Okay? I think I'm right here. It's all over the world, is that same color red? But it's called all different names. But it means red. Correct? Who named it red? We don't know, do we? But it's red. Okay? So, the zodiac was named by God. And so as people grew up, they learned this is the name. Tower of Babel comes. And Bullinger says, talking about him, on the top of the Tower of Babel, he believes, was the zodiac. Which I think he very well may could be right. And so what are they saying? We build this tower, we're building our own way to God, our own plan. But, whatever their language was, and we don't know, probably East Texan dialect, okay, they had their names for the zodiac. Red. Color red. All of a sudden, at Tower of Babel, they get different languages. And so, it's still red. They just called it a different name. But that name meant red, correct? Yes.
And yet they have, in the meaning of the zodiac,
But does it give new meaning to Romans where Paul says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. God turned them over to their own lust. See? Right. But, and this is the neat thing to me, you see. The stars that God gave them the name, they're called different things in different languages, but they all have a similar meaning. Red. Raw. It doesn't make any difference. It's, you see what I mean? Yeah. It means a similar type thing. And I think that probably the meaning of Jason and the Argonauts probably, it depends on who you believe, but somewhere between 1400 BC and 900 BC. We have that story then come about. Okay? Yes. But you see, where does the mythology come from? It comes from truth that is just counterfeited a little bit. Yeah. The golden fleece. And, you know, and see, it was the fleece too, that purity, righteousness. What did Christ come to do? To give us back the righteousness of God. And to wash away our sins. Hey! I agree with you. It's amazing how they can be blind, but now, hopefully, you know, with prayer, they can see. Yeah. So the whole thing goes on and on. You can go to every, you can go to the mythology and all of the zodiac, and you'll see Christ, and we've done some of that. There's always a basis of truth. I wouldn't have thought of that, Charlotte, but, yeah, I mean, I like the National Enquirer. You know, my favorite one, I didn't buy it, I wish it would. A woman gives birth to, you know, it was a 200-year-old child. I've always just went and had a picture of the baby all old and wrinkled because he was over 200 years old, which I'm not sure exactly how that happened. Okay? But basis of truth, women do give birth. Yeah, well, that's what made it so unusual. He was 35. But, okay, you're talking about, as Saul, he was very zealous religion. Yes. Which I didn't make it right, did it? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, look how we have to become blind and helpless before we realize we need to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. See, as long as we're doing something, we're cool. And we can become we can be very zealous for our particular brand of spirituality. And then we have to come to that point of helplessness where we realize we are helpless.
People that is not a Christian, and the whole world could be Christian, and that is it.
Yeah, it's called eternity. It's called the New Jerusalem. We are to evangelize. But you see, people have free will, and we are to allow them, because we're not the one who converts. God the Holy Spirit does. Our job is throwing seeds.
They didn't want to allow them.
Yeah. And then we become, in our legalism, we become just like the Muslims. And wherever Muslims, wherever they rule, they don't allow any competition. See? And real problems. It's going to be a real problem in this war that we're in today because of our Muslim servicemen. I think one of the spokesmen for the American Center of Muslims, whatever they are, they said that no Muslim can fight against another Muslim unless they have permission, that it's a holy and just war. And their allegiance is to be to Muhammad, not to their nation. Okay? Where is our allegiance? To God. See, is our allegiance to Christ or to our nation? It's both, as long as it's not a contradiction. So you render under God those things that are God and under Caesar those things that are Caesar's. Do you see the problem? Okay. So we're gonna have a problem here in this war. Okay, let's. He's going to ask me a difficult question. Okay, work day is the 17th, and we are going to have a Thanksgiving service Wednesday night, when it will be Thanksgiving Eve. Yeah. Okay? We're cool? Father, thanks for the time we've had to come together and to worship you today. I pray that we would take the lessons of Cantor, where we will be surrounded by you, living with you, in the safety, protection of your Son and of you and the Holy Spirit, and in fellowship with you for all eternity. I pray that as we look into the skies and as we see the stars, we would remember that that's really where our home is, and that we would begin to live our lives in the light of eternity. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen.